Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is part four of a five-part series entitled Joyride, and today's specific message is entitled Road Less Traveled, based on Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. So, let us dive into the Word today. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself."
"Right,"
Jesus told him.
"Do this, and you will live."
The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story.
"A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt great compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. He then put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, 'Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here.' Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits?"
Jesus asked the man. He replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said,
"Yes, now go and do the same."
Amen. When Jesus sends us out, sometimes the road is difficult and dangerous. We can avoid Jericho roads of life, or we can take them in order to serve Jesus. And we are invited to travel the Jericho roads in our communities with eyes open and offer our service to others in need. When I was at seminary, I was privileged to study under some of the greatest theological scholars and academic minds out there. I went to Drew Theological School in New Jersey, and I studied under the likes of Dr. Stephen Moore, Dr. Virginia Burris, Dr. Wesley Ariaraja, who is the former director of interreligions relations at the World Council of Churches, Dr. Bob Williams, who was formerly the president of the United Methodist Commission on Archives and History, Dr. Morris Davis, and many others. I've met and heard people like John Dominic Crossan and Shane Claiborne and others because of my time at Drew. Today, I would like to share with you one of my professors, Dr. Otto Maduro. He was a sociologist and specialized in the sociology of religions. And I had him for a class called Religion and the Social Process. At the time, I was a youth pastor, and a youth had called me up prior to my class, desperate. I mean, she was having a very bad day. And this particular girl was prone to suicidal thoughts, which I had known about and informed her parents about, and was, you know, providing spiritual counseling to her, and she was receiving other counseling as well. But you know, she needed to talk that day. She called me up and needed to talk that day. In that moment, I was at a loss. She wanted to meet with me, and I was at least an hour away at a seminary with a class that I had to take. And I had to be in that class. I forget the specific reason, but there was something going on that day. I had to be in that class. We were covering something or doing something that I needed to be there for, and I told this girl that I would let her know when class was done, and I would meet with her afterwards when I got back home. When I entered the classroom, Dr. Maduro saw me and came over to me. It was just a glance, really. I walked in, he glanced at me, and then he came over to me. He said, "Todd, what's wrong?" And he said this in a very concerned manner. "You don't look like yourself." So I kind of explained the situation to him as best I could without losing it, without breaking down. I will never forget this. I will never, ever forget this. Dr. Maduro grabbed a hold of me, gave me a hug, and then told me, "Go. Go to the ones who need you right now, and then get some rest. I'm praying for you." First off, I had never had a professor give me a hug before. I mean, that's something you don't typically experience in college, professors who hug you. This man was so full of compassion for my situation that he saw it on my face before I even let him know. In fact, I wasn't even going to let him know. I was just going to sit through class, and when class was done, go home and try to process with this youth. That day, Dr. Maduro became more than just a professor to me. He became a hero in my faith journey. Someone who dared to be compassionate in a time of desperate need. Someone who put a human being's needs before the needs of the class. And how often does that happen in college, right? We've all had those professors where their class is the only class you're taking, so it's the only class that matters, right? Like, that's their attitude, and they just dump work after work after work, and they don't care if you're there or not, and if you're not there, you pay the consequences. This man did the opposite of that. Now, we all have people in our lives that have exemplified this commitment to care. Someone who is healing the wounds of the broken or lifting the value of all people. Those who have devoted themselves to a life of service and who see the divine image in others. This parable that Jesus tells is a familiar story. We all know it. We all know about the Good Samaritan who stopped to help the half-dead man on the road. And in fact, we get caught up and enraptured by how warm it feels and how nice and good feeling it is. But I invite you to come to it with fresh eyes today. Here are three points that may help us see this in a fresh way. The road to Jericho is dangerous. It's not like walking up your main street, you know, going from one town to the next. This road is dangerous. In fact, it skirted around Samaria and through the rugged wilderness. And the reason it did that is because the Jews really, really wanted to avoid. They really wanted to avoid Samaria. The Samaritans were considered to be Gentiles. They were, but not Gentiles of the Greek sort. They were even worse than that. They were people who were claiming to be Jewish, but weren't seen as Jewish because of where they worshipped and how they worshipped. And they were really considered to be defilers. And so to cross their path would defile you. Even if you crossed the shadow of a Samaritan, it would defile you. So going through Samaria was too risky. For Jewish people, for the majority of Jewish people. And so the road to Jericho through the wilderness was the road most taken by Jews. And in doing so, the Jews put themselves at risk for being robbed by bandits, because the bandits would hide in the rocks and the crevices along the Jericho road. And if they saw people traveling alone, they'd jump down and attack them and leave them half dead and take all their belongings. And so that is exactly what happens to this Jew who is traveling to Jericho. He takes the wilderness road. He's traveling by himself. He's mugged and robbed by bandits and left naked and half dead, with no possessions because he's just been robbed. Point two, the road to Jericho is narrow. It's not like the others traveling on this road failed to see this man lying in the road. There's no way you could walk down the road to Jericho and not notice somebody beaten and bloodied and half naked, dead, half dead, lying in the road. Think of your church aisles. How wide are they really? I mean, some of them can be wider than others, but they're generally pretty narrow. They're just a pathway between pews, right? If somebody were lying there, beat up and bloodied, could you miss them? Yet, the parable tells us that a priest and a temple assistant both passed this man, stepped over him, and kept walking. I too can be like the priest and the Levi, the temple assistant, who stepped over people and never recognized their pain. In my story about Dr. Maduro, I told you that I contacted some people at church and was going to stay for class. A girl had just called me in distress, and while it may not have been an imminent need, like she was about to kill herself in the moment or something like that, she was in distress and she needed somebody to talk to, somebody to meet with, and I put her on hold because I had a class. I was overwhelmed and afraid of the repercussions of missing that class, so much so that I wasn't even going to speak to my professor. I was just going to sit there, try not to think about it for the hour and 15 minutes that the class was, or however long the class was. I was going to just try to sit there and take notes and process the class the best I could, and then drive home and deal with that situation. And Dr. Maduro, like the Good Samaritan, took the time to see the need and gave me permission to do what I should have done to begin with. Nobody else in there would have probably even noticed that I looked different. They were too busy doing other things. But Dr. Maduro noticed. And the irony is, Dr. Maduro was the busiest of us all. He's the one that was going to be leading the class. He had the agenda. He knew what we were going to be doing. But he took the time to notice. And he gave me permission to do what I should have done to begin with. And praise God for that. That was almost a missed opportunity, and who knows what could have become of it. In your life, there are people who need help that you see and step over. Or maybe some of us are too self-centered to really notice the needs around us. As we journey through our joyride, we must not step over the needs of others. In your life, who are you being called to help? There are people in our community that God is calling our church, your church, all of our churches, to help and to see. Who are they? What obstacles do we have to overcome? Our communities, my friends, are fraught with hunger. Don't believe me? Volunteer at your church's food pantry or local soup kitchen. People are starving in our communities. If you live in an urban center, you know this. You can't hide the people that are starving in cities. But if you live, like I do, out in a rural area, or a more rural area anyway, those types of things get swept right under the carpet, and people think, oh, poverty doesn't exist here. Our communities include people who are homeless. Our communities are suffering from suicide, a drug epidemic, isolation, hate, and many other things. What our community needs is a church filled with Otto Maduros, who dare to take the road less traveled, the road of compassion, of love, and empathetic action. What it needs are Christians who take the time to see the needs of others, to dare to notice people suffering, and to ask the question, "Are you okay? You don't look yourself. How can I help you?" Are you ready to be such a person? Last week, or 2 weeks ago, I gave us an invitation to either ask Jesus into our hearts or to recommit our lives to Jesus, and I hope you sincerely did that. So the question is, now that you have done that, are you ready to be such a person? Are you ready to follow your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ? Are you ready to be such a church? If so, say amen. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this challenging message, and we just ask that you continually guide us, Lord, in our faith and in our life journey with you. Lord, it takes all hands on deck in order to do the ministries of the church, and we just trust that, Lord, you are moving in each of us, sparking the desire to bring about your kingdom into this world. And so continue to shape us and mold us and to use us as your vessels, bringing gospel-filled love and hope to all people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'd like to thank you for tuning in to this podcast, to this episode. And again, it was part four of a five-part series entitled Joyride, with this specific message being road less traveled. And I do truly hope you do take the road less traveled, my friends, for it is the road of Jesus Christ. And so with that said, I'd like to invite you to check out the episode notes where you can support us at the Life-Giving Water swag store. You can support us by checking out the Party on John cast, and you can certainly support us by rating us on whatever platform you listen to us on, whether it be Apple Music or Apple iTunes podcast, or Google Play Music or Spotify, and leave a review. Those types of things help bump us up in the listing so that more people can see us and listen to us, and so we hope you will do that. In the meantime, friends, I want to remind you that you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.